Hi, and welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and I'm super passionate about moving and thinking. On this show, we are going to dive into all things health, fitness, personal development, lifestyle, and political, sociocultural. I've always been fascinated by people, and I love learning from the experiences and stories of others. This has been a treat for me, and I hope this is enjoyable and useful for you. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or any way that I can make this a better experience for you, please don't hesitate to reach out. Hello, welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I'm here today with Dr. David Martin. I am super excited to bring you here.
And lovely to be here.
He just gave a really, really incredible speech. And for those of you who are not familiar with him, you absolutely should be. He is I truly think a hero in this fight for liberty.
That's very kind, thank you.
Yeah, really. What I really love so much, you were talking about today, how, like, one of the things that really struck me was you were talking about how we can't have lack of transparency in the government. And I actually recently tweeted this. I was like, you can't, you know, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people, right? Yeah. You can't have of the people, by the people, for the people without transparency. How are the people supposed to know?
Yeah.
So I really love that you were saying that. And you've been saying that people have been asleep for so long. I'm curious why you think that's happened, why people are so asleep, and really what can be done. I know you said you're not all that hopeful.
Yeah. No. Well, so first of all, the problem is I don't think we have a picture of what being totally alive looks like. Nice. We are told from a very early age that we have to be conforming with society to be civilized.
Right.
Something simple like when I was a kid, I used my left hand.
Me too.
And you know, I was left-handed, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was told that you can't be at a proper dining table as a left-handed person. And that was a message that was given to me as a kid.
Right.
Well, I didn't sit there one day and make a decision that I was going to somehow be left-handed. I just was.
Right.
And there was nothing about me being left-handed that was somehow less civil.
Right.
But because of the way the table was set.
Yeah.
You know, it was inconvenient to have a left-handed person at the table. But that is because of where we put our knives and forks.
Right.
Okay? Well, you know, that's a simple analogy of we don't even know what it would be like to be human.
Right.
Right? We don't know that there are a lot of people around the world that eat without silverware.
It's true. Yeah.
You know what they don't worry about?
Where
you sit at the table because you're left-handed or right-handed.
Right.
And I'm giving you a simple example of how corrupt the system is.
Yeah.
We are told we have five senses.
Right.
That we have the sense of smell and taste and touch.
I'm visually and hearing impaired,
and,
so.
And sight. And the funny thing about that is we have 12.
Yeah.
We have 12 cranial nerves, not five. We have 12.
Yeah.
They give us an access to 15 senses.
Wow.
But the average person has no idea. What on earth is he talking about? What is 15 senses? And why is it that the same person, Pope Innocent III, who actually deprived humans of their only rights ever granted in the last 2,000 years, the only rights that were granted in the Charter of the Forest in 1215, which was the document that gave humans the right to life and livelihood, the only legal document in 2,000 years to give us that right. He nullified it in 1215.
Right.
And he nullified not only that, but get this. One of our cranial nerves is what innervates our neck. And when we lie, our neck tightens. Our mouth dries. The same guy who deprived humanity of their right to being human made the infallibility of the church a law that if you challenged, you'd be put to death. The same guy. The same guy who robbed humanity of being human also told them that they can't ask questions under pain of death. And he did one other thing. He instituted the clerical collar. You know what that does? It hides the truth.
Right.
Now, he did all of that in 1215. So if we're sitting here in 2022 and we're going, what would it be like to live in an unconstrained way?
Yeah.
We don't even have a picture
of
what that looks like. Because since 1215, we have not been allowed to be human.
Do we?
And when I say since 1215, I mean, think about what I just said, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is.
Right? That says that for over 800 years now, we have been subject to a deficit view of humanity that says you're not entitled to ask. You're not entitled to have your own thoughts. You're not entitled to have life and liberty. You are not entitled to do any of that. And if you question, you die. So when we talk about it, you think about, oh my gosh, how deep does this thing go, right?
Yeah.
This is not a COVID conversation.
No,
right?
No.
COVID could only happen in a world where we as people have lost sight of what it means to be human.
Totally.
But worse than that, we've agreed with that position. We've agreed that, you know, whatever separates us, whatever credential, whatever, you know, side of the tracks we were born on, whatever it is, whatever the thing that is that separates us is more important than the thing that puts us together.
Right.
And we do not have a picture of humanity, and we haven't had it since 1215.
It's truly astounding. What?
Yeah.
What was his? Do we know his intention? Why?
Yeah. He was the guy who sent children to the crusade. He's the guy who killed children in the name of a public interest. I wonder if there's been any other Italian who's done the same thing. Let's see, an Italian Catholic who has sent children to their death for a public interest. The Children's Crusade of Dr. Anthony Fauci. I mean, seriously, we're watching history play itself out.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there going, oh, maybe it's just us. Maybe it's just happening now. Listen, we in 2022 are as bad off as we were in 1215.
Yeah, I think worse, because now we've had so much conditioning. And so we, you know, I think then it was enough of a shock, and they still have a sense of what it is to be human.
Oh, yeah, we had the good thing, like, we, you know, back then we at least had the Inquisition.
Right.
We at least had people who were willing to challenge the narrative.
Yeah.
We had people who were willing to go to their death to challenge the narrative. We had people who were actually still remembering what it was like to be fully human and going, hey, I got to stand for this.
Right.
Even the people standing for things right now are not standing.
No. You alluded to a lot of that in your speech. And I, you know, there's one of my pet peeves is this term controlled opposition.
Yeah.
Because I think they use it. It's the new conspiracy theorist. You know, it's a way of demonizing people and discrediting them. However, I do understand why it's being propped up. And I think part of it is because people are, you know, looking like they're really in the fight. And yet they're pointing all arrows in one direction.
So I think it's important to understand something. So there are a lot of people who had a very particular and important voice throughout this entire arc.
Yeah.
And I think we need to challenge the whole controlled opposition narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think here's the thing. There are people who are willfully misleading.
Yes.
Okay? These are people like a person at the CDC who changes the definition of what vaccination means, right? That's a willful deception.
Yeah.
That's a willful deception. The World Health Organization changing what a pandemic is. That's a willful deception.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people who actually, and I'll give a great example. A person like Peter McCullough, who as a practicing physician, was in a conventional experience of practicing medicine for a very long time, and then encountered what happened around COVID, and he has had this massive awakening, conversion kind of experience where he's going, oh my gosh, maybe some of the things that I used to not consider, now I need to consider.
Right.
Devin Griner, the plaintiff in our case against the president,
is
a guy who, up until COVID, was a mainline practicing physician doing what mainline practicing physicians did. And you cannot attribute to a new participant in the conversation an active intent to mislead. These are people who are vocal. They are in front of people. They're doing great things to awaken people, but they are in their own emergence at the same time.
Totally.
And so I think one of the things we have to be careful on is there are things where if I was sitting with Peter McCullough right now, we would have disagreement on.
Sure. Sure.
But one of the things that we would agree on is the value of civil discourse.
Yeah.
And it turns out civil discourse means I can disagree with a person. I can disagree with a Dr. Robert Malone. I can disagree with a Peter McCullough. I can disagree with a Bobby Kennedy. But if I sit respectfully and say, listen, you have a point of view. It's informed by your life experience. I have a point of view informed by my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things where we can come to honest disagreement.
Of course.
That's part of what it means to be human. So I'm a big fan.
That's why the First Amendment is so important.
Yeah, that's I'm a big fan of in the community of people in the COVID conversation.
Sure.
I think we need to be very careful not to carelessly label things.
I agree.
Now, at the same time,
yeah.
I have been very clear on the fact that calling a bioweapon, a gene therapy edited specifically to harm humans.
Yes.
Calling that a vaccination, for me, is a line I will not cross, and I don't support other people who do cross that line, because that's a very important distinction.
Right.
Because it turns out that the public hears the word vaccination, they think they're being protected from something.
Of course.
They do not know that what is being injected is the instructions to make a scheduled toxin.
Right.
And if we told the public what it was, and that includes the people who are in the COVID conversation, if we told the public what it was,
right,
like Dr. Jane Ruby, like Zev Zelenko, like Stu Peters, like others, if we told people what it really was, there would be less people who were taking the injection, and more importantly, there would be a more intelligent dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And more recourse, right?
Well, certainly more recourse, but I think in our own community, it's important for us to say, listen, I don't ever have to be on the same page as a person.
Yeah.
Right? There are things that Dr. Malone has done in his research that I'm unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
I read his research, I read his patents, I read everything I can to understand him. There are things that Peter McCullough has done in presentations. I want to understand and I want to learn from them. Does it mean that I come to exactly the same place and the same conclusion? No. Yeah. But the respectful human engagement, real humanity, is to go, hey, I respect your passion. I respect your commitment to integrity. I respect all of those things. And we come to different conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a real need to have a real genuine respect for this where we go, I can be even combative with respect.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that's something that we're missing in our discourse, and we need to get it back.
I think that speaks to something we're missing in general, because the art of critical thinking is so lost.
Yes.
So a lot, like you said, that you may come to a different conclusion because you're thinking critically.
Yeah.
And that's something, I mean, I always say I'll never agree 100% with any other person because they're not inside my head.
Yeah.
And I have my own thoughts. So, but I think as a human race, we have really lost that. We've been brainwashed for so long.
Well, and that's why I'm always challenged when people celebrate my information as though it somehow is true.
Right.
So let's unpack that for a minute.
Yeah.
I try to faithfully represent the information that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I speak, I want to have integrity,
mm-hmm.
meaning that the things I say match the evidence that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's, for me, what integrity is.
Sure.
Now, does that mean Dave Martin speaks the truth? And the answer is no.
Right.
Because truth is bigger than my perception. I may have glimpses of it, and I may have windows into it,
right.
but it is always something that has a greater existence than what I'm able to access, because I'm bringing, what am I? I'm a 55-year-old guy, okay? I was born in Fargo, North Dakota. I grew up in Southern California and in Southeastern Pennsylvania. I bring a worldview.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I bring that worldview, there are things I see and there are things I don't see.
Sure.
So can I ever say I'm telling the truth?
Right.
No, I really can't. What I can do is I can say I'm doing my best to be faithful to the truth, meaning that I'm not intending to deceive or mislead or misrepresent. That is a true statement.
Right.
But do I have some sort of ownership of this ideal truth? No.
Right.
Dave Martin is no more the truth
right.
than anybody else. And that's why I think if we have the ability to once again model respectful agreement, respectful disagreement, respectful discourse, including respectful combat. It's a very important part of the human experience we need to bring back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I know we're pressed for time. We are going to do a long form, which I'm super excited about. But you had mentioned in an interview I saw that you were saying how about, you know, Social Security is going to run out in 2028 and how a lot of this is tied to that. You've spoken a lot about the insurance companies in general. But I'm curious how that, this is a globally, you know, orchestrated phenomenon, if you will. They don't have Social Security running out in 2028 in other countries.
So yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, the problem is, since Bretton Woods in 1944, the world has relied primarily on the U.S. dollar as the fundamental trade currency.
I see what you're saying.
And because of that, what we're exposed to right now, and that's why the Ukraine crisis, for example, is the illusion that it is. Because what's happening is we have a giant geopolitical and economic transformation that's happening right now.
The Great
Well, not the way they're calling it.
Right.
Because what's happened is Bretton Woods, which was the conference during the Second World War, which led to the decision of making the U.S. dollar a principal trading currency, assumed that we would always have a positive GDP, that the United States would always be manufacturing things, would always be leading the world technologically, would always be at the vanguard of things. And the problem is, the assumptions that underpin the U.S. dollar as the trade currency have not lived up to the hype.
Right.
So the hype was that somehow or another, no matter what happened around the world, the U.S. would always have this technological superiority, this creativity superiority, everything else. The problem is, by the 1970s, we found out that wasn't true. By the 1980s, we found out that countries like Japan and Taiwan and Korea and China and others were starting to advance in semiconductors, televisions, automotive, whatever else.
Yeah.
We saw Germany come back after the Second World War and be extremely productive. So all of a sudden, all the assumptions that went into the dollar's hegemony, its supremacy in the world, started getting chipped away. And so obviously, Nixon pulls the gold standard in 71. Carter blows up the debt allocations with respect to foreign ownership of debt in 76 and 78. Reagan makes it whole scale, and he decides to unleash all of the foreign investment limitations back in the early 80s. And so ever since then, what's happened is people have become addicted to our debt, not to our GDP. And there's the problem. The problem is, since 1980, we have had an only debt-denominated dollar. And so the problem, obviously, is kind of self-evident. We're going to have a crisis, and the crisis is not going to affect us because we've infected the world with our debt.
Right.
Where most countries have significant holdings of their reserves in U.S. dollars. When the dollar falls, everything falls. So it is a global problem.
Yeah.
And no matter what we want to do to put lipstick on this pig, the pig is going to be bacon in 2028, because when we don't have the economic driver of healthcare in the United States, which indirectly drives over 30% of our economy, when we lose that, we lose our economy. And as a result, the world loses the dollar. And as a result of that, we actually have a global crisis. So it now doesn't matter. I mean, we're already past that point. So what we're doing now is saying, okay, great news is we're having this interview in 2022.
Uh-huh.
We've got 6 years to go until we know that we've got the cliff.
Yes.
So rather than running to the cliff and falling off the edge, the question is there another way? And that's what we're very actively involved in right now, which is building alternative systems.
Great. Okay.
So that's what I do every day.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so for the sake of time, we'll wrap up. But tell people what it is they can do to get in the fight, how they can support you prosecuting.
Great. Yeah. Prosecutenow.com is where the information lives. We also have a Give, Send, Go campaign right now. It's a givesendgo.com/accountabilitynow. So the word accountability now at the end of Give, Send, Go. You can go there. You can support the work. On May the 5th, we're having a fundraiser in Salt Lake City, Utah for the plaintiff in the case against the president. So if you happen to be in the Salt Lake area, on May 5th, we're going to do a fundraiser for the plaintiff. And so that's going on. But prosecutenow.com, givesendgo /accountabilitynow. And to follow the work that my wife Kim and I are doing, make sure that you go to fullylive.world. Fully live, all one word, fullylive.world. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Me too. Likewise. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.